Rosa.
You are now listening to Fancy Plans and Things Radio.
It's Friday, and it's your girl Queen's favorite day of the week. Yes, hunty. We are back for another episode this week, and y'all, I'm super excited. I feel really good about this episode. I'm just so excited. But before we get into all of that, I just want to say, if you are new to Fancy Plans and Things Radio, welcome to the show. Hi, I'm your host, Queen. Over here, we like to keep it real and raw. Not only do we talk about planners, but we also talk about the babes behind the planners. And yeah, we talk about important issues. We just like to keep it real here. So if you are looking for a podcast that's going to get down to the nitty-gritty, keep it real and raw, and make you feel like you are at home chilling with your girlfriends, laughing, having a good time, this is the place for you. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining me this awesome Friday. Also, Friday really is my favorite day of the week, okay? Who don't love a good Friday, okay? Also, if you are an oldie but a goodie, okay, you've been rocking with your girl, you come in every Friday and hang out with your girl, welcome back, baby. Welcome back. Okay, I'm feeling really good this week, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear this episode. I talked about this episode last week with you guys that I would be doing this, and this episode is all about PCOS awareness. And for those of you babes who don't know what PCOS is, it is called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And me and another babe have teamed up in this community. She reached out to me about a collab project that we will talk about later in the show. And I was just like, you know what? It would be great if you guys could hear another voice in the community talking about this disorder. So I just thought it would be really, really fun that we could do this and team up together. And I just thought it was a great way to showcase and bring awareness to PCOS. So with all that being said, we are probably going to go ahead and jump into introducing our guests. But before we do, I do want to remind you guys, there are a couple of ways that you can support the show. One, you can donate to the show. You can use the Cash App right in my bio, okay, of Fancy Plans and Things Radio over on Instagram. Just donating a couple of dollars, whether it's to buy coffee, whether it's, you know, all money is used to basically make the show a little bit better. So I really appreciate you guys so much for all the love and support that you guys have been doing, for all the donations that you guys have sent in. You guys are just absolutely freaking amazing. The second way you guys can support this show is also by writing a review. Yes, go over to Apple and write a review. I would love to know what you guys think of the show. Some of you guys have already written really sweet reviews, and I thank you guys so much. And I thank you for all the love and support. You guys just show up every week and you show out. And guess what? I'm going to go ahead and mention it here. I haven't really like fully celebrated yet, but the podcast has officially hit over 15K listens. Woohoo! Yes, so I'm super excited about that. And thank you guys for being a part of this journey and just celebrating with your girl. I'm on the road to 20K listens, and I feel like when we hit that 20K mark, we're really going to celebrate. Okay, we're going to have some giveaways and just do some fun stuff. But I'm so proud of my journey, but I'm most of all proud of you babes who have stuck it out with me and have truly been my ride or dies. Okay, y'all have really been my royal family, for real, okay? Y'all let me know that y'all really mess with Queen, and I love you for that, okay? I am really in a really good mood today. So I hope you guys enjoy this show. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring my girl Holly in from Planning and Polish. So make sure you guys go over and follow her on Instagram at Planning and Polish. Holly is such a dope babe, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to her story, listen to us talk. I had so much fun recording this episode, and I'm really, really proud of it. I had a lot of fun with Holly. And so without further ado, y'all, let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Holly.
Thank you so much for having me, Queen. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. Like, oh my gosh, when you sent me that DM and I was like, oh, we about to have a good time.
I was very nervous sending you that DM. I was like, I gotta just go for it though. I've been following you for so, so long, and I sympathize so much with your story. And I was like, I gotta send her a DM. I just gotta do it. So I was so excited when you got back to me. I was like, she got back to me. I ran up. I like literally, like, my boyfriend was in the next room. I was like, she got back to me. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was super excited to see like someone like reach out, and when I read your like story, I was just kind of like, oh, I know the perfect way to do this, because I was already planning something. And so for those of you babes out here that are listening and don't know, Holly reached out to me about doing a challenge, which we'll talk about at the end of the show, but we're talking about PCOS awareness, and we had a chat, and I just knew she would be perfect. Oh, no, you didn't. Sorry. My phone. I was like, what is that? Okay. Oh, my God. And I just knew she would be perfect for the show. I was like, oh my gosh, our stories are similar. And I'm just so grateful that you said yes and that you are willing to share your journey and your story about PCOS, because it does affect 1 in 10 women. And as studies have shown, it's now almost like, what, 1 in 5?
Yeah, they're saying it could be up to 20%. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy. And so I urge anyone who's listening to this episode, if you are thinking that you may have it or you feel anything, we are urging you right now to get checked out by your doctor. It is super serious and it does affect a lot of women. So me and Holly decided to team up and do this episode and kind of share our journeys and talk about some things with you babes and kind of help give you a little bit of information out here in the community about PCOS and try to bring awareness to it. And I don't know for Holly, but for me, it just is something that I've struggled with for such a long time. It literally is like a daily part of my life. And I feel like my life has forever been changed, you know?
Absolutely. Same here. I try not to let it define me, but at the same time, it is a huge part of who I am. And so I feel it is like almost my duty to, like you said, bring awareness and let other people know like what we're dealing with and what we're going through and how they can help us and help themselves even if they find themselves in this type of situation.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we have a little list of things we wanted to make sure we covered today. And the beginning stages of diagnosis are beginning stages of what really takes over your body and you start to notice these different things. So I'm going to let Holly kind of talk about her beginning of her stages of her diagnosis and kind of tell us a little bit about what was going on with your body that was making you be like, okay, there's something wrong.
Yeah, it's really crazy because it kind of started to happen out of nowhere. And I just want to start by saying I was dating a guy who had a child. So, you know, I felt this was extra hard for me because when you're dating somebody, you know, who has a child and you kind of learn, okay, maybe you can't have one of your own. Mm-hmm. It really hurt on a deep level, but I'll explain what happened. So we were happily together and all of a sudden, like, things started to happen and it was weird. So I remember one of the biggest symptoms was that my period started to come late. So it was, and I always got it on the 28th day, like every month it was on the 28th day. I had never skipped. I was never late. So when it started to come late, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I'm pregnant. Like that was my thought. Maybe I'm pregnant. And in a way I was kind of excited at the time because I, you know, he already had a child and I was like, oh my gosh, we can give this child a brother or sister. And I was, you know, young, but I was still excited. I think I was 22 when it like kind of started to happen. Mm-hmm. And then, it sounds crazy, but I gained 70 pounds in 1 year. And I was like thinking to myself, okay, I'm not eating great. I'm definitely not eating great, but 70 pounds in 1 year is a lot of weight to put on. Right. And I was like, what, why am I gaining so much weight? And I'm not really eating that much differently than I was eating, you know, a year ago. So that was kind of weird. And I remember also, and I will never forget this. This is like a memory I'm just going to take with me to the grave. I was at a Memorial Day barbecue. This was back in 2014. So it was shortly after my symptoms started, like the weight gain and the late periods and things like that. I remember I was at a barbecue and a friend of mine who actually is no longer a friend, she pointed at my chin. She was like, you have hair there. You have hair on your chin. And she started laughing at me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I never even noticed it. And I remember I went home and I was like observing like underneath my chin. I was like, oh my gosh, there's hair there. What is going on? So I, in a panic, I took a razor and I shaved it, which probably was a horrible idea because now, right. Now I have to shave it all the time. and it grew back. Like, you know, they say you pluck one, three go to the funeral or whatever. So I just, you have to shave it every day now. But so that happened. And my anxiety started to go up and I started to feel super depressed because I just felt like I was, A, gaining tons of weight. I wasn't feeling sexy. I was always a very confident person, especially in my younger years. And I just couldn't understand why. So I, at one point, my periods, they were coming later and later. And then at one mm-hmm. point, they just stopped coming. And I was like, okay.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, they just stopped coming. So I was like, I have to be pregnant because I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I actually had known a little bit about PCOS because of just, I don't even know. I don't know how I knew about it, but I did. But I was like, there's no way it's that. Like, you don't just get that out of nowhere. Like, that was my thought. You don't just get right. that out of nowhere. But that's not the case because I seem to have developed the symptoms out of nowhere. I went for an ultrasound. And I remember the tech, I just saw a tech, like an ultrasound tech. So she couldn't tell mm-hmm. me anything. But she said, oh, no, you're definitely not pregnant. But you got lots of cysts on your ovaries. And I was like, okay, that's strange. But I was in such like a weird state of shock that I didn't think to ask any questions. Plus, she couldn't give me any information because she was only a tech. So she couldn't right. say anything. And then so 6 months later, so I was dealing with these symptoms for 6 months. I went back to my gyno for a regular checkup and she was like, oh, like I'm looking at your blood panel. I'm looking at the ultrasound results. Like you definitely have PCOS. And I was like, wait, what? And I couldn't understand why they didn't even call me to tell me this. They just waited till I went 6 months later. So I was already it was yeah. wild. They didn't tell me. And so she just told me out of nowhere. Queen, I'm not even kidding. I broke down crying in the middle of this room. Like my mom was there with me and she looked at me and she knew like as far as I was concerned, she told me I was dying. Like that's how it felt. Like
right.
I just broke down even thinking about like how I felt that day, like in that office. I get emotional because like it just felt like a death sentence, like her telling me that I have PCOS.
Right.
And I knew the symptoms. I researched the symptoms. So I knew what I was in for. Like, I knew why suddenly everything made sense. The weight gain, the hair growth, the depression, the anxiety, everything mm-hmm. that I was dealing with, it all of a sudden made sense. But I also had to take with me the fact that I may never have a child.
That is like the most heartbreaking thing of PCOS. And I'm listening to your journey, and it's so crazy because everyone's journey or beginning stages of PCOS is always different, and everybody's complete journey is always different.
Yes, it is.
And for me, I didn't get diagnosed with PCOS at first. So I got with my hubs, who I'm with now, and we got together when I was 20, a couple of months before I was turning 21. So, you know, of course, you're young, you're doing some things, you know, you're doing grown folks business. Okay. And so we were like, okay, let's just be smart because he was in college and we were like, let's be smart. I'm not on the pill and we are, you know, doing these things. We're having weekend trips to see each other and all these things. So let's do the right thing and take birth control, be smart about it. Right. In hindsight, we always kind of regret this decision because before the birth control, I've always had irregular periods. It has just been normal. I started my cycle when I was 10. And so that kind of just was normal to me. Like if my period went missing, it was nothing to me. It was like, oh yeah, that happens all the time. Right. Not really thinking about like, that's not really normal. That's not normal. But here's the other thing. My mom was the same way. She was like, oh yeah, that's normal. I went months at a time without a cycle. So it was normal to us, right?
Yeah.
And through all my teenage years, the same thing kind of happened. But before him, it was a 2-year span of like, I want to say it was 2 years that my cycle was completely normal. Like, okay, I'm a normal person again, right? And so when my cycle disappeared, because we started taking the birth control, so that means that my body was now regulated to the birth control, right? And then I said, I had to stop taking the birth control because it was giving me, look, and I understand that a lot of women do, because I have taken birth control for certain things, but birth control is not nice to me, okay? I was literally a psycho. I might as well had my head spinning around my body with green stuff flying out my mouth. Like, I was literally just losing it. I was crying over stuff. I was getting upset. And my husband was like, this is too much. Like, he's like, you're never like this and there's something wrong. So we decided to stop taking the birth control. And immediately after taking the birth control, I've always been a chunky girl, but nothing had changed in my diet. Like you said, nothing had changed in my diet. I wasn't like eating super healthy, but nothing had changed to the point where like I was just eating gobs and gobs of food and just binge eating and stuff. There was none of that. It just, all of a sudden I was gaining weight and my cycle disappeared. And of course you think, okay, that's normal because I've been taking the birth control. So it's normal that my cycle has to regulate itself back to normal. But what I didn't realize, Holly, was that it was gone for like almost 6 months before like we paid attention. And in between that, I'm gaining the weight and my mom's like, and I, you know, when you start gaining weight and if you're a plus size girl, you know, we all got our fat jeans in the back of the closet. So, you know, when you start gaining weight, you just put on your fat jeans and be like, okay, cool. Like, yep. You don't even think about it. Right. So my mom's like, you're gaining weight. Like, are you pregnant? And I was still living at home. He was in college. And I'm like, oh, snap. You know, oh Lord. Like that was what my thought process was like. And we've been doing the right thing all this time. Like, this can't be happening. And she was like, you need to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor. And in between going to this doctor, I was moving out of my mom's house. And I was moving to Tampa to live with my boyfriend at the time. So, or my hubs, because we're still together. So we're moving to Tampa. And I went to the doctor. But in between this time of me moving, she didn't give me my diagnosis. So what she did was she mailed it to me. It came to my house like in a letter. And it basically said, hey, you have a thyroid condition. You need to come in and get some thyroid medicine. So I said, well, I don't live there now. So I'm going to have to wait and figure this out till, you know, once I get here, find a doctor, all these things and figure it out here. Right. So months down the road. Okay. I finally figure things out. I'm going to the doctor. And the doctor goes, you don't have a thyroid condition. You have PCOS.
Oh, damn.
And I'm sitting there like, you know, like my face is literally like, what? Like, he was like, yeah, you have PCOS. He's like, are you having trouble losing weight? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you have irregular periods? I'm like, yes. He was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have PCOS. We need to take you in and do a couple things. Like, I've had an MRI to make sure that I didn't have a tumor on my pituitary gland. They were trying to check all these things. And then they were like, yeah, we did the ultrasound. And let me just tell you, I say this to my husband every time because I'm like, I know a man invented the transvaginal ultrasound. Like, that is the most uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It's like, I'm just like, who invented this? Like, you just can't put the gel on my stomach.
Nope. Oh no. No, no. It is not a fun experience.
It is not a fun experience. No. And so, you know, we did all of that. And then they're like, the same with you. You have cysts on your ovaries. So you have PCOS. You know what the sucky thing is, though, Holly? Just last year, after when I told you I was diagnosed when I was, 21, 22, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
All this time, this is about 13 to 14 years later, I'm now officially diagnosed with a thyroid condition as well.
Oh my gosh.
I actually had a thyroid condition, but the doctor completely missed the thyroid condition and realized that I had PCOS.
That's crazy. They didn't think did they take a blood work? And
so they were taking blood work. And here's the crazy thing. And this is why you have to advocate for your health. And I recently, my friend Katie from Definitely Katie, she has helped me figure out the right questions to ask the doctor because she has a thyroid condition. And so she figured out the right questions I'm supposed to ask the doctor and the things that I'm supposed to say. And this is why we're talking about this is because when you're diagnosed, you have to advocate for your health.
Yes, you do.
And what happened is that my levels for my thyroid are not very high. They're higher now, so my dosage has went up, but it wasn't very high. It was only high enough to be like, she might have a thyroid problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some doctors will push that off like, she'll be okay because the numbers are just elevated enough to be like, she has a thyroid condition, but we don't really need to concern ourselves with that. And that is where it comes in that you have to advocate for your health. And even just listening to like how I felt with the PCOS, I think I didn't fully grasp what was happening. I know, like, I didn't, like, I understood what he was saying, like, okay, that I possibly may not have children, or if I do have children, it's going to be a struggle. I understood what he was saying, but I think because I was in my early 20s, you know, at that time, you're, like, partying, drinking, having a good time, you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, I'm still going to have some kids. Like, I hear what he's saying. Like, that's how my mind was. I didn't really fully accept it, but as every doctor's appointment went, and as time went on, it's just like this soul crushing thing.
You know what I mean? It hurts so much more with time too. Like, it's one of those things that don't get easier.
It doesn't. It's frustrating.
You know? It is.
I don't know about your journey, but I would say for my personal journey, it has been one of those things where there's times that I'm super okay, and then there's times I just fall apart. Like, the depression just creeps in and I just feel useless. And the same with you, like, the facial hair doesn't help. And it didn't help that, you know, your friend is pointing that out either, you know, like, to just be pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people don't understand, like, you know, I have, like, the skin tags, or I have, like, my neck is darker than my face. So it has always been frustrating when people go, oh, you're supposed to match your makeup to your neck. Well, there's possible that some people can't match their makeup to their neck, because my neck is actually darker than my actual face. So that comes in where I have to match it to my chest instead of my face, right?
Yep.
So that's a struggle. It's kind of frustrating, and things that I had to learn, but it's also things that kind of make you embarrassed because you've gained weight, so now you're struggling with that, or you have the facial hair and you're struggling with that, you're struggling to feel pretty, like you said. It's just a rough journey.
Yeah, I mean, like I told you when we spoke, you know, before recording, like, it is a silent womanhood killer. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm one of those people, my femininity is something that I really am close with, so when I feel like, you know, this is taking away from that, it hurts. Like, it really does hurt me. And people don't quite understand it. I remember when I first got diagnosed, I'm telling you, like, really, it's different from the way you reacted. I was so devastated because the only thing I could think was that I wanted to give my boyfriend another child. Like, that was, I was so focused on that. And I remember telling friends who also had PCOS, like, I can't believe this. I have PCOS. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm miserable. I mean, I was crying every day. I didn't want to go to work. It was bad. It was really bad for a while. And I had friends who were like, oh, well, I have PCOS. One of them was like, I got pregnant. Another one was like, I have PCOS. It's not a big deal. Like, oh, you know, you'll do that. Like, when, and I'm like, it's a big deal. Like, I don't know why people think it's not a big deal. And even if you are able to have kids, which, I mean, yes, that's a huge battle won, but that doesn't mean you don't have PCOS. It doesn't mean you beat PCOS just because you have a kid.
Right.
So don't tell me, like, oh, I had a kid. First of all, everybody is different, every single body. So my body may not be able to have a kid with PCOS. I am a textbook definition of the symptoms, and it just is not looking good for me.
Right.
So just because you're blessed doesn't mean that I'm going to be blessed in that way. Like, it's just not, it might not be in the cards. And if anything, you're kind of rubbing it in my face. I'd rather not.
It's a journey. Everybody's journey is completely different. And that's, like, as you can see, our diagnoses were completely different.
Yeah.
I found out from a complete different way. Mm-hmm. Thinking that, like, okay, at first I did think, okay, maybe I was pregnant because, like I said, I was on the birth control. Then I got off the birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, of course, you're still using protection, but we all know that birth control and protection, they're not 100%. Okay.
Yep.
So in my head, I was like, okay, cool. But as I'm getting diagnosed with the PCOS, I still didn't fully grasp everything of what he was saying. Like, okay, I hear what you're saying. And I think, honestly, when I look back, it was more of, like, denial. Because I've been in that situation before. Like, you hear what the person is saying, you hear what the doctor is saying, but in your head, you're like, you know, babies, maybe. You know, like, you're just kind of throwing it off. And the more that I went to the doctor, the more that I started understanding what he was saying, and the more that this started to become a reality for me, and it was just really devastating. And I've been in your shoes where you just crying, you want to throw things, you want to break things, you're depressed, you don't want to get out of bed, like, you just, as a woman, the one thing that you are supposed to do, which is bring life into this world, and you find out that you can't do it.
Yep.
It is the most heartbreaking thing ever. Like, I had a meltdown this morning.
I don't know a greater pain, honestly. I really don't.
It really is other than, and I feel like other than losing my grandfather, this has been the biggest loss in my personal life, because it feels like, I don't know, like for you, for me, like in my journey, I'm looking at this amazing man who I love and want to give him kids. I know he would be an amazing father, hands down.
Yeah.
And I can't even do that. It is the most heartbreaking, crippling thing to a person. And I, like I said, I had a meltdown this morning just because I knew we were going to have this conversation. And I, you know, my hubs was like, look, it's me and you, no matter what it is. He's like, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. And he's like, I know the doubt is always going to be in the back of your head, but I'm telling you now that I'm not going anywhere. It's me and you. We got this. And it does help, but you're always going to think like, okay, they're going to get up and leave because somebody else could have kids and I can't. And it is just one of those things that just really just cripples you, because sometimes you live in anxiety and fear, or you live in the depression life, and all of those things, like PCOS is a big thing. You have not only just the PCOS, but then you have cysts on your ovaries. It causes depression and anxiety. And then you have heart disease that it causes, diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like you, I'm kind of a textbook case. I have the diabetes. I've gained the weight. I have no cycle. So it you really are just every day battling your own body.
Yes, you are. And your mind. Yes. Like you said, and you know, you're so fortunate to have such a like loving and understanding husband, because at the time of this diagnosis, me and that boyfriend are no longer together. We couldn't make it work. We couldn't get through it. It was too much for me. I was so depressed. I couldn't even look him in the eye anymore. I mean, it was so bad. I was like, I'm never going to give him a kid. And even he was like a little understanding about that part. But he couldn't quite get down with like the depression and anxiety part of what was going on. And so it was constant fighting and just him not understanding why I'm in bed, why I'm like eating like crap. Cause I was eating like crap. Like there was a point where I was like, well, I'm already getting fat. I might as well just keep eating.
Yep, I went through that too. I was like, I might as well eat everything I want to eat, you know? And it's just kind of like, that's not helping you either. And also like we talked about even like with our journeys, I don't know for you, but like, advocating for your health is very important. I'm keep saying this because I have been to doctors, and I don't know if this happened to you, but I had a doctor, girl. If I ever wanted to give somebody these hands, give her some paws, okay? I wanted to give this doctor some paws because she really asked for it. She literally looked me straight in the eye and goes, well, you know you're fat, right?
No way! No way! Like,
girl!
No!
Girl. I literally looked at her and was like, so does she think we in the Nutty Professors that I was skinny when we got here and then I just blew up on this table while talking to her? Like, oh my gosh.
I'm dead.
Did she just try me? Like, no, girl. I was so up. I literally left the doctor's office in full-blown tears because I've never had anyone just be like, well, you know you're fat, right? Like, that was like, you need to lose weight. Like, that's not like an obvious thing. That I like, feel like, okay, that's... I've been working out. I'm over here eating 5 to 10 salads a day. I'm taking all the vitamins. I'm running. You know, me and my husband was doing a workout. He was doing like P90X and I was doing some like other like strenuous workout. Mm-hmm. Girl, he was getting abs, looking all lean and sexy. And meanwhile, I was like, I lost 2 pounds. I'm like, I've been working my ass off.
I know.
They don't get that you are, it's not about that you're binge eating or you're just eating junk food or you're just not taking care of yourself. This is honestly a disease that you have gained the weight and it is a true fight and struggle to keep it off.
It really is. And you know what? I think it's a vicious cycle too, because like I'll go through periods where I'll essentially starve myself and I'll lose weight and then I'll get depressed about something. And I like one of my big things when I am depressed is I eat. I know some people don't eat at all. I'm total opposite. I eat everything in sight and I'm like a garbage disposal.
So, like, not everything in sight, girl.
Like everything. I am just nonstop eating. So like, but the depression comes from the PCOS. The weight gain comes from the PCOS. So like when you're like essentially starving yourself, you're working out, you're doing all these things and you're losing like 2 pounds a week. And then like one bad thing happens or like you're reminded that you can't have kids or whatever. And then you sink. Mm-hmm. It's like all a vicious cycle. Everything is connected. You know, a lot of people forget about the mental illness aspect of this whole thing.
And I think for me, I don't. Okay, so when I'm like sad, I'm not. Okay, I already have a bad habit of like not eating enough. Mm-hmm. So like today, for example, I ate breakfast, but I haven't eaten anything else today. I haven't eaten anything else today, and it's kind of like, oh my God, why haven't you eaten anything? You know, like, why? But I'm not feeling hungry. I'm not feeling well, you know, like, well, but like, okay, I really want to eat. And I'm one of those people, like, if I'm not feeling well, I'm not really into eating, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that sucks in itself, because it's almost like a vicious cycle, because when I do feel better, then I'm like, okay, let me have my 3 meals a day. And I had to, and something else I had to learn. Okay, so with PCOS, we do love food. Let's be real. I love me some good food. Mm-hmm. But also, we have to figure out portion control, because we got to work on the portion control, because we're thinking, okay, especially like for me, I definitely have to work on it because I developed diabetes from PCOS. Okay. So I'm a diabetic. And so now I have to make sure I'm working on the portion control. I have to make sure that like my blood sugar is not getting out of whack, and I'm controlling these things, and I'm taking the right medications to help combat the PCOS as well as combat my diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times that, yeah, like we're plus size and we're not eating healthy every day. Let me be honest, girl. I'm not eating healthy every day. I love me some good ass, some ribs, some hot dogs, some chicken. Okay. I want a mashed potato. Like, you know, like how Bubba Gump loves shrimp. That's how I love potatoes. Okay. Baked potatoes, fried potatoes, french fries, girl, whatever kind of potato it is, just give it to me. That's how I want it. And starches are bad for us. We know all of these things, but for someone to just say, you do know you're fat, right? Yeah. I know. I looked in the mirror this morning, boo, but that's why I'm here, for you to help me.
Yes.
What can help me lose weight? Because the PCOS, it really, and I honestly think it's because we don't have cycles, is what is like making our bodies retain so much like water and weight.
Yeah.
It's not really because we're just, because I'm not sitting down stuffing my face every day. You know what I mean? Right. So it's just, honestly, it's something that we're fighting every day. I lost 22 pounds this year. It has been a struggle.
Yeah, it's hard.
22 pounds off. And let me tell you, the 22 pounds I lost the first 20 because I had COVID in the beginning of the year. That's how I lost the 20 pounds. But it has been a fight to keep those 20 pounds off. And when you go to the doctor's still saying, well, you're overweight or you haven't lost enough weight. And you're like, oh my God, do you not see my accomplishment? I've been able to keep 20 pounds off for the past 7 months. That's amazing. Because before, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see my everyday fight and struggle of that, you know?
Yeah. It's annoying. Like, I feel like doctors, I mean, when I got diagnosed, my doctor didn't even tell me, like, it, like, she didn't warn me of anything, honestly. Like, and I think that's also the problem. And that's why I think it's really important, especially for like the younger people. Like, look at us. We were both a certain age when we were diagnosed, what, early 20s?
Right.
And that's the age where you don't know that you should be advocating for your own health. You're not even thinking about it, really. You're not thinking about your body like that. And they're not going to give a crap about you, because as far as they're concerned, you're young. You're not trying to conceive. So what is the point of even worrying about you? Mm-hmm. So they literally prescribed me birth control, and I actually got lucky. Like, my birth control has truly helped me, because it regulated me, and it actually calmed me down. It brought my hormones like a little bit down, okay. I think. So I still go through depression, anxiety, especially in my older age now. Like, it's gotten pretty bad again. But for a couple of years, it was actually really, really good. It got better. And it helped to a degree. But that was it. And she was like, my doctor was like, oh, you know, when you're ready to conceive, then like, we could talk about it. Like, you can start. And then she said, you can stop taking the birth control, and you have like a 2-month window where your hormones will still be regulated and you can like get pregnant. And I was like, what? But what about all the other symptoms? What about the fact that I'm twice as likely to get diabetes before the age of 40, or the constant inflammation, or the fatigue that I'm dealing with? We're not going to deal with any of that. And then
let's not even talk about the fatigue. The fatigue is on another level.
It's so bad.
I get straight and probably wake up and never feel like I ever slept. Like, I'm always tired. And then I have insomnia on top of that. So it doesn't help.
Me too. No, I'm the same way. Like, I nap all day, and I'm awake all night because I'm so exhausted. I'm so, like, the fatigue kills me. Even like body aches, that's a common symptom that people deal with, and they don't realize that it's tied in, like the muscle aches, the joint aches, all that stuff. They even say, I've even read a few articles. Now, this is like a very new study, but they're saying that PCOS can even lead to osteoporosis and like weakening of the bones. See? And I'm like, great. So I'm going to be a walking cripple. Or like not even walking, diabetic, unable to eat noodles. Like pasta is my favorite food. it's my favorite food.
Look, let me tell you, I have cut back on a lot of my starches, but it is just so frustrating because you want to eat all the good things. Yes. You want to enjoy like a super nice meal, but you're worried like, okay, if I eat this, I possibly could gain 5 pounds and I'm not going to be able to lose right away. You know what I mean? Like that's how the thought process is. That's how the cycle is. And it's really, really frustrating for me because I've always been a plus size girl, but I've never been this plus size. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
And so it's kind of it's awkward journey for you because you're having to learn new things about your body. You're combating something that is basically an invisible illness. Because a lot of people, when you say you don't feel well, you don't feel good. Well, you don't look sick. You know?
Yep, that's always what they say.
It's an invisible illness. And it's frustrating to me because it's something that just truly just takes over your life. And for me, like I said, this journey has just been so heartbreaking and so frustrating. But we do try to take strides and to be in a good mood about it. It's not something that I think about every day, but I am older, you know, and here's something that we can talk about definitely is just talking about how we can help things that not to say to people, because I know for me, like my journey has been very, very different. I've went through a lot. Like I went through where I didn't like pregnant people. I did not like pregnant people. I didn't like moms. And look, I got a mama. And I just didn't like moms. I didn't like pregnant people. They made me feel some type of way. And I had to learn, like, it's not their fault. And we know it in our heads that it's not their fault. And we know that, like, our journey has nothing to do with this pregnant woman. But I remember my hubs, like, he had a coworker friend. And she was having, like, a baby shower. And I was like, I'm not going to that. Like and he was like, why? And I was like, I'm not going to celebrate her having a baby. Like, it sounds really mean, but in my head, it was just that I couldn't feel like I could celebrate someone being pregnant when it was something that I wanted so bad. And it was like the depression and the mental health. And then you get people who are saying, well, girl, you're young. Don't worry. You're going to have babies. Or that's okay. Like, even if you can't have babies, you can be a foster mom.
There's always adoption.
Yes. Oh, my God. And it's like, look, like, or girl, you don't want no kids. But if you do, you can come get my kids. Let me tell you, your badass kids, I don't want them. Okay. you keep them. Okay. I don't want your kids. I want my own. I don't get it. Those are not things that you should say to a woman. Mother's Day, that's a struggle. I don't know if that's a struggle for you, but for me it is, because it is almost to the point where we are pushing people, like that's the kind of like thing, like women, we're supposed to be homemakers, we're supposed to have children, we're supposed to be wives, and the society needs to kind of normalize people not wanting children. Because that's true. Some women don't want children. So we need to normalize that. But we also need to normalize that women do go through infertility.
Yeah.
And it's something that affects 1 in 10 women. Mm-hmm. This is actual facts. This is actual science that in 1 in 10 women that PCOS affects. And not every woman doesn't have children because they don't want children. It's because we are struggling with an invisible illness.
Yeah.
And it's not okay for you to make jokes or say, oh, well, you can adopt kids or you could be a foster mom or maybe it's just not your time right now. Stop thinking about it. You'll have them when you stop thinking about it. And it's like, good for you that you can stop thinking about this. But for me, I can't stop thinking about this. I have known that I've wanted to be a mom since I was 5 years old. I knew that my mom had me at 24 and I thought, okay, I'm going to have my first child at 24. And here I am sitting at 35 with not one child in sight. I'll be 36 next month. And so it is heartbreaking and frustrating for me because, like I said, I know my hubs would be amazing dad. And I know that I would be an amazing mom. I want them so bad. But when you start hitting older years, people don't understand that. Like now when you start saying like, okay, well, maybe it's not going to happen for me, and you try to grasp onto like the reality of not having children, it's not that you don't want them anymore. It's you being aware that your body is changing. It's me being aware that, okay, now I'm into geriatric pregnancy age. There's preeclampsia involved. There is gestational diabetes involved. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, and me being an older woman and trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating and heartbreaking for people not to understand that or to dismiss your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. And oh my God, you said so much. And I'm like trying to go back on everything you said just now. But yes, okay. First of all, can we stop asking women when they're going to have kids?
Yes. Yes, we can.
In general? Okay, listen. Yes, you're right. Some people don't want to have kids. Yes, like we are done. We are done with that. We're moving on from that. Not every woman is going to have kids. And honestly, like PCOS is not the only cause of infertility. So like it's not even just the 1 in 10. There's probably way more people that can have kids than mm-hmm. just 10%. So, I mean, I know I have a friend who she literally went through something that they called unexplained infertility.
Yes.
There was no reason for it that they could find anyway. So she went through multiple rounds of like IUIs. They all failed. She finally went through in vitro and she got lucky, but not everybody is that lucky. And like you said earlier, let's not forget that some women just don't want to have kids anymore. Like we are we're way past right. it now. Not everybody wants kids.
Right. It's definitely okay to be a woman who says, I don't want to have children. And let me just say this. I respect women who know that they don't want children and stick to that they don't want children versus yes, they don't. Having kids and neglecting them
yes.
because they know what they want out of life. So we should be able to normalize that women want to be more than just mothers, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of us that are dying to be a mom. You know what yeah. I mean? Like I would chop off my right foot right now, hand it over if I could be a mom.
Yes.
Like that is something that's so important to me. But we also need to realize that again, we're bringing awareness to PCOS, but there are a lot of women who are suffering with infertility and it's unexplained. There's no reason for it. They can't really figure out why. And let's even talk about that. Like while we're normalizing these things, let's talk about how much money is IVF and IUIs and all these things? It is so expensive. So also please don't hand out these conversation tools of like, oh, well, you could just have fertility treatments. Drives me insane because fertility treatments, while they are nice, and Clomid is what? The cheapest option.
Yeah, but first of all, none of them are 100% effective, but that's like really low on the pole there, you know?
Right, it is. And for some of us, like me, my doctor wouldn't even give me the Clomid because she wanted me to be under a certain weight. So now that goes all the way back to what we talked about before, right?
Yeah.
That's trying to lose the weight. So it's just, it's a never ending cycle.
But you notice mm-hmm. how no doctor will tell you, oh, like this is the best method to lose weight with PCOS. You got to do that research yourself. And some people get too overwhelmed. Like sometimes yes. you just need somebody to be like, you have to do this. This is how, like, okay, you want me to lose weight? Tell me how I can do it quickly and efficiently and in a healthy way. Because as far as I'm concerned, people are probably going home starving themselves, like yes. not eating, doing whatever, and getting themselves sick. Like,
yeah, binge dieting, yo-yo dieting, all yes. these different things. And like you said before, you even mentioned how like you, sometimes you like go through this moment of like where you're starving yourself, which in our heads, we think it's okay, if I don't eat a lot, or if I don't eat this, it's going to fix a problem mm-hmm. and it's not really going to fix the issue. It's just really putting our bodies in starvation. Again, once you hit the depression, now you're like, well, let me eat it all. Let me just yep. eat. So in low key have eating disorders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's,
you know, it's and if insane. You already have an unhealthy relationship with food, it all that does is make it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And that goes back to like, what people shouldn't say to people who are dealing with PCOS, because I have a lot of people who are like, well, just eat better. You can lose the weight. Mm-hmm. I deal with that all the time. Or here's my real favorite. Let me tell you a story. This is like as you know, I'm big into telling people about my PCOS diagnosis and bringing awareness mm-hmm. and all that. So every year in the month of September, since it's PCOS Awareness Month, I always post about my PCOS a lot. And I post about all my symptoms and of course, the possibility of infertility. And everybody always says to me, actually, I get a lot of things, but the one that I absolutely cannot stand is, but you can adopt a child. You can adopt when you're older. Don't worry about it. Or I also get the, you're still young. Like, don't stress about that now. You have your whole life ahead of you.
And as we said this before, like, you telling me that I can adopt, let me just say this. Adoption is absolutely wonderful. We have been thinking about adoption. It's quite frequent of a topic here in this house. But here's the thing with having children. I want the baby bump photos. I want to feel the flutters and the kicks. I want to go into labor. I want to see, do you have my personality or do you have your daddy's personality? Do you look like me or do you look like your daddy? Like, those are the things that you get that you don't get when you adopt a child.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? There's a, and don't get me wrong, because adoption is amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's your child, no matter what the case may be. Okay. But there is a difference in just carrying a child and being able to do what women naturally are born to do, is to bear children, and to be able to not do that, especially when you want to be a mom. It's, I can't even explain the heartbreak or the hurt
you
that
can't.
You feel constantly. It's, you can't even really put it into words. You're almost mourning someone daily.
Yeah, yourself and your body. Like, honestly, it's like it. A lot of, and it, that's what frustrates me about it, because some people just don't understand. So even though they're trying to be nice, like this month, this year, I mean, when I posted my whole PCOS thing, I was like, do not tell me I'm still young and there are other options. I don't want to hear it. Like, I am sick of it. I'm done.
It's just, it needs to be more sensitivity, because I feel like that's what's missing in this.
Yeah.
Like, empathy and sensitivity and understanding that we don't need to hear, oh, don't worry about it, you're young, or my favorite line is, girl, don't do it. Girl, if you want some kids so bad, you can have mine. I was like, no. First of all, you offer me your badass kids don't make me feel any better. Sorry.
No, I totally, I haven't received that one yet, and I'm glad I haven't, because I would not be as nice, honestly. I would not.
It is. It's just frustrating. And I think for me, I have, like I said, I did a lot of growing, because at one point I really didn't like people with kids or like women being pregnant. It really bothered me. And I had to, like, you know, it wasn't any one person. It was honestly just a personal issue, personal journey that I kind of had to work through, you know?
Yeah.
But when people constantly make it seem like you have to be okay with whatever life has dealt you with, like, oh, don't worry about it, oh, just keep the faith, oh, when you're not thinking about it, you'll get pregnant, and they're pushing that, it's really heartbreaking, because it's like, could you take a moment to understand where I'm coming from? Could you take a moment and truly hear my cry, and truly hear that I probably could have sex from here to the moon, and I'm probably never ever going to get pregnant? That's something that I have to live with every day, and that's something that I have to wrap my mind around, that my body just is not working. And it's not my fault, because that's something that we have to tell ourselves, that we're not less than, we're not inadequate. We have to remind people that we are not alone. And I think when we talk about things not to say, these are the tips that you could use to help a friend.
Yeah,
tell them that they're not alone. Sit down and have empathy. Take time to really hear the person talking.
Yeah, like, sometimes it even just comes down to a simple, like, that really sucks. Like, I'm sorry that you're going through this. Like, let me know if I could do anything for you. I don't need your advice. Like, I don't need you to tell me everything's going to be okay, because honestly, it might not be.
Right.
Like, this whole, like, fake happiness, you know, bull crap, it's just, I'm not about it. Like, sometimes you just need to be sad, and the person that, like, is seeing you sad, they need to acknowledge that you're just sad.
Yeah.
Not the, like, that's why I hate the whole, and this is going on a little bit of a tangent, the whole, like, choose happiness thing. Like, it's a bunch of bull crap to me. And like,
it's toxic positivity.
Oh, I'm over it.
Because some days you can't choose positivity, and sometimes you can't choose happy. I think the thing is that people don't want people to feel the feels. But yeah. If you don't feel the feels, if I didn't feel the feels of, like, I'm being honest and saying I truly didn't want to go to people's baby showers. I didn't want to celebrate people being pregnant. I didn't want, my mom would call me, and I know, like, in her head, she's just excited about, you know, family members. But she would be like, oh, your cousin blah, blah, blah is pregnant. And I'd be like, mm-hmm. You know, like, I didn't, you know, I really didn't care that my cousin Sheila was pregnant because I'm dealing with my own journey.
Yeah.
But in that process is that I had to work through those issues. I had to work through those feels. I have to work through that trauma every day. I have to work through those feelings. And if I'm always choosing joy and choosing positivity, that's telling me to basically shut up and stuff my feelings mm-hmm. and just smile about it. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm great. But that is never going to heal my trauma or my issues that I have with infertility.
I get it. I still get salty when I see a pregnancy announcement on Facebook or something. I'm like, ah, another one.
And it's automatic. We don't mean to be salty. No. But, oh, man. Damn. She's on baby number two and I ain't even got one yet. Damn. You know, you feel like that. But you know what else I have realized too? That I'm working with what's going on, like, on the inside of me. And I had to take time to just kind of, I'm still working on it every day, that I'm slowly working on healing me.
Yeah.
Realizing that I am not less than. Mm-hmm. I am strong.
Yes.
He gave me anything that I couldn't bear. Like, he wouldn't put anything on me that I could not handle. So he must think that I am a strong person. I am a warrior, okay?
Yes, yes.
And every day that I wake up and I make it over that hump, mm-hmm. I have succeeded in saying I am strong and nobody and nothing can come tear me down because I have made it living with an invisible illness for the past 15 years. I got this.
I know. And you know, it's so funny you say that because, like, when I look at somebody like you, I'm like, yes, she is a warrior. Like, you are amazing. You're strong and you're, like, doing it and you're just inspiring and all these things. So why do I have so much trouble viewing myself that way? You know, like, I feel like I,
because it's still, our personal journey.
Yeah. Like, I struggle mm-hmm. a lot with this. Like, I really, my confidence really sometimes just is just low. But like you said, like, it is a journey, and I'm not going to wake up one day and be perfect and feel perfect mm-mm. and feel, no. you know, and everything's going to be okay. Like, that's not life. You know what I mean? So
right.
it's all and about that.
But Holly, the fact that you're, I don't know why you don't see it. I think you're amazing and you're strong because even me, sometimes I'm very guarded with sharing my story. And it's, and a lot of it is because I used to be very open with sharing my story, thinking that I'm inspiring someone and I'm helping someone. And I remember there's this girl and I was sharing my story with her. And we later got into it. And she basically told me that, and I've heard this a few times from people because they just use it as like a weapon. Oh, you're less than a woman because you can't even have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I've had two kids. What do you have? You know, those types of, like, really punch you below the belt type of things.
Yes.
And it's heartbreaking because you're like, wow. And for me, a lot of the times it's like, I have amazing friends and they're all moms. And I want to connect in that way too. Like, oh my God, I want to be a mom too because I want to connect with them. And it's heartbreaking. But for me, what I see from you is that you're sharing your story to help someone. You are always saying, advocate for your health. Stand up for you. These are the things that are happening. Let me give you the information. You are strong. You are strong. You are a warrior. You may not see it, but I see that. Anytime you can get up and post a picture of yourself and tell your story and tell your journey, and you're inspiring someone else and you're being advocate for PCOS and helping others, you are a warrior. You are strong. And at the end of the day, if you don't take anything away from us having this conversation today, remember these words because they're words that I have to remember all the time. I am enough.
You're making me again all teary too.
Because people don't understand that this is like such a heartbreaking thing. And anytime that we can go and say, hey, let me share my story with you to remind you that you are not alone. You're helping someone, or you're trying to motivate someone, or you're holding someone's hand even through your pain. You are strong. You are enough. You are a warrior. And I have to remind myself that constantly. So if you don't take anything else away from this conversation, you are strong. You are enough.
Oh my gosh, and queen, stop. We are my body temperature going up.
We can make it through on the other side. It is just, for me, this is such a hard journey because I am now 35, I'm turning 36, and I think I'm trying to wrap my mind around, like, okay, we have taken vitamins, we have taken supplements, we have took medication, we have done the working out, we have just like tried to cut down certain foods and all these, we tried all these different things, right, with PCOS. And I'm gonna be 36 in, you know, less than a month. And I'm thinking to myself that, okay, maybe it's time to just really say, okay, children may not be possible, but what I can do is, though it's killing me on the inside, I can do my best to inspire someone else. I can share my journey. I can share my story, and I can let other people know that you're not alone. And just telling people that advocating for your health is super important, because I never realized that how much doctors just, you know, you just feel dismissed when you go to the doctor. You feel shoved to the side because, like you said, they honestly don't think that, oh, because she's not ready to have kids right now, we'll just give her some birth control and tell her to carry on, you know? And it is, but I think I'm coming to that realization that, okay, it may not happen. And I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to be okay. And this leads, you know, this segues kind of into like us talking about like how we talk to our partners about that. And for me, it's just hard. But I will say this before we get into that, that never ever think that you're less than. We all have our bad days. We got the facial hair going on. We got the skin tags, we got the weight gain, we got all these things that are stacking up against us, but we are still beautiful and amazing women, and we're strong. And I definitely want you to remember that you are enough. Every morning that you wake up and you show up for yourself, you are enough.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate you so much. That was like the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. But it's honestly, just... you need to say that. And like, it's important because there are a lot of people who aren't like us and who don't share their story. And they're embarrassed. They feel like the way we feel, but we push mm-hmm. through that and we still share. And like, I feel like if you can make me feel the way you just made me feel, like imagine how we could make other women feel who are dealing with this. Like,
right.
It is so important to like keep sharing this, and even people who don't have PCOS, like whatever it is that you have that's making you feel like less, you mm-hmm. know, like it's important to just keep reminding people, like keep going, you know.
I remember, you know, this is it's so crazy, but there's this girl when I was back doing my beauty videos. She was about 13. Her name was Talia Joy. I don't know if you remember her, but she was big. She wanted to be a cover girl. And yeah. She had basically childhood cancer. And one of her favorite sayings was, just keep swimming. And I always use that in my head, like, just keep swimming. I know it's hard, but just keep pushing through. I know you're tired, but just keep pushing through. I have to remind myself, because sometimes I don't get everything done that I've designed out for my day. And then I feel like a failure at the end of the day. But I said, look, you woke up. You check the email. Go, girl. You did it. Like, you know, if that's all I did for that day, because me pushing through that fatigue and feeling really tired and feeling really sick and just feeling like I'm less than because I didn't get all these things accomplished. But if I did two things off my to-do list, I did something. Yes. I learned to give myself grace and learned to give myself mercy because, hey, I woke up today, you know, and then that is a blessing. So... yeah, I you're right. Just sharing our stories and sharing our journeys is just something that, you know, will help someone else. But I think also it helps me. And just know, you know, that, you know, we're going to push through anyway, and we're going to come out better on the other side. But it's hard to get in that mindset. And I totally understand. So
Yeah, and you know, especially for us planner people, right? Like we always want to do all the things.
Check
All
it
the
off,
things at
right?
one day, at one time. Like I give myself to-do lists of like 20 things in a day, and I'm like, what am I doing? Just like you need to give yourself grace with everything, and especially for you ladies with PCOS, like the fatigue, the exhaustion, like it is like real. Don't beat yourself up over it. Like do what you can. Don't push yourself. Like don't feel bad if you can't finish that to-do list. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
some
Just
days
move
you
it to the
just
next
can't.
day. Right. Some days you just can't. And it's okay to say that. And again, like I said, we talked about the toxic positivity and the feelings and all those emotions. Go through them. If you need to scream, cry, you need to throw something, do what you got to do. Make it through all the emotions and the feelings, because that's a way of, that's therapy. That's a way of you healing. That's a way of you letting things out. Journal about them, talk about them with a friend, but find someone who can truly be your support system. And I think that for me, I have found that my journal is kind of like my support system. So I do want to give that tip out to make sure you find like a friend or your journal or something that you can use as a support system to kind of get out all your feelings and never feel like you have to stuff them or again, live in that toxic positivity crap, because that is not helping the situation. That is not helping you heal. That is not helping you mentally. And when we are always saying that life is sunshine and rainbows, when it's not, it's just making it worse,
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, and also I'm pro therapy. I made it a goal for this year. One of my 2021 goals was to go to therapy. I had been wanting to do it for, I mean, since my diagnosis back in 2014, and I finally this year decided to go to therapy. I go every week and it's been amazing. So if you're nervous to talk to a friend or whatever, like you could consider that too, and there's so many options. So, journaling is another great way, like you said, if you don't want to actually speak to a person, but
I always say my journal is my secret keeper. You always know that your journal is never going to betray you. You can put all those feelings, those raw emotions there. And it's just a great place to get things out. And again, I agree with you 100% that therapy is amazing. And for me, like Holly, I would say this, just even you just reaching out to me and saying, "Hey, Queen, like, do you want to come do this with me?" Or I have PCOS and I've been watching you for a while. Just hearing that it was someone else. Sometimes you don't even know that you need that, but just somebody randomly reaching out saying, "Hey, girl, I have PCOS too, and I just wanted to let you know that you're so strong." Just simple acts of kindness to each other. And again, we need to learn how to be kind to each other as well, and have empathy, and learn that sometimes we don't need all those, like you said, we don't need everyone telling you what to do, what to say, or what to think when it comes to having children and telling you don't worry about it and all these things. Just take time to have empathy and take time to hold my hand and listen. Like that's
That's
all I
it.
need is a listening ear.
Agreed. And I and yeah, you began to mention a little bit about talking to your partner about it, and I'm sure he's been really good at holding your hand because you guys have been together for a long time. You said you got together when you were 20 or something?
We got together right before the summer of my 20, right before my 21st birthday.
Oh my
So,
gosh. That's amazing.
right. So we're still rocking together. We made it through a pandemic and we still like each other.
Yeah,
What?
that's an accomplishment.
But yeah, just talking to your partner, it took me a while because like when I first, like I said, when I was first diagnosed, I kind of like I understood, but I didn't understand. I was like, babies, okay, whatever. Like, I'm still gonna have babies. I was mostly in shock, I think. And honestly, I was just in denial, if we're gonna be honest. But just I think as the years went on and we like started talking and like being open with your partner, like for me, I have a really hard time with like my emotions. Like, I don't just cry over like anything. It has to be things that really touch me or like I really feel. So I'm not like just a huge crybaby type of thing. And so it was hard for me to like break down that wall of just talking to him because it was something that was touching me that would make me cry. And then I would feel awkward because now I'm in like these boohoo tears. But it was just being able to talk to him has helped. Being able to know that he's on my side, that he has got my back, that we are in this together and that we're taking this journey together. Because like I said, it broke my heart a lot. And it still breaks my heart knowing that he would be an amazing dad and I can't give him that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm struggling to give him that, and I may not ever be able to give him that. And like I said, we do keep adoption on the table. We have talked about it. Like, you know, that's why we want to buy a house and stuff like that. So we'll have a place to put the kid. Because right now we've got a 2-bedroom apartment and the second bedroom is my office. So the baby ain't got nowhere to sleep. So, you know, we got, you know, we're figuring things out. But all of those things combined, it just means that taking time to sit down with your partner, having an open and honest conversation, sharing your feelings, letting them each other know that you, okay, we're in this journey together, and him reassuring me that things are okay. And that, like, he's like, look, I'm not going anywhere. It's me and you to the, you know, to the wheels fall off. Basically, that has helped so much. So take time to sit down with your partner and talk to them about what's going on. Talk to them about what's going through your head, your emotions, why you're depressed, why you're upset, why you're crying. Because I notice that sometimes when I'm feeling some type of way and I just open up to him, I feel so much better afterwards. I said, okay, where I could have went into a whole depression or a panic or whatever, I just had a few moments of words with him and now I feel completely better and I can make it through my day. I can make it through another day, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, not that I would recommend this for everybody, but so as I mentioned before, me and my ex, we didn't make it through. You know, mm-hmm. I had trouble communicating. I was throwing tantrums. Like, it was bad. I was very manic. I didn't know how to handle my anxiety. And I was yelling a lot. And I was just not a good person for a little while there. And we didn't make it through. So when I went on my first date with my current boyfriend, we've been together for almost 5 years now. I literally told him on the first date what was up.
I was God, how did that go? I know he was like,
all right. I was like, okay, listen, first of all, I need to know if you have kids. Cause I was like, I can't date somebody with kids knowing I might not be able to have any. It just, right. I give so much credit to people who do. It wasn't for me. It just didn't make me feel good to know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he said, no, I don't have kids. I was like, great. You may never have kids.
Oh my God. What? I know he was like, wait, what?
He was like, he didn't even know what to say. He was like, oh. But honestly, like, and then I explained to him what was up, what was going on, and he was like, okay. And we continued the conversation like as if it, you know, the whole conversation wasn't focused on that. We met in a coffee shop at a Dunkin' Donuts, and we were together in the coffee shop for I think 3 hours, something like that. And we were just talking. Nice. We opened up about everything. I mean, not just my PCOS and all that, but like literally everything. And when I left that night, I was like, I'm going to be with this guy for a long time. Like, I just knew. Mm-hmm. And like a couple of days later, he was like, listen, like, let's be exclusive. Like, I don't even want to wait. A week after that, we said, I love you. 2 weeks after that, he slept over and he never left. Like, it was one of those things. And now, like, I still deal with I deal with confidence issues a lot because of all these symptoms I'm dealing with every single day. And I do deal, you know, I have days where I'm crying because I don't know why I have this, Queen. I don't know if you have it, but I have pregnancy dreams a lot. And I think it's just because my body's like kind of ready, and, you know, so I wake up crying if I have those. And he doesn't always fully understand it because he's not going through it. So I'm not going to expect him to like completely know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
But what I need from him and what I've explained to him is I need someone who's going to be patient with me as I go through these and just be there. Like, you don't have right. to say anything. You don't have to give me a solution. You don't have to cure me. Like, right. I just need you to like be hand. There. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Like, and he knows that. So, and sometimes I need like to be alone too. Like, I'll be like, listen, like, I just need to nap this off. Like, I'm going through something. Let me nap it out. And then I'll wake up. I'll feel a little better. We'll have a conversation and like, it's all good from there. So like, you need to make sure, especially if you have PCOS and you're with a partner, you need to be, that communication that you spoke about, it's so important. Honestly, it's important no matter what it is.
Yeah, it's important to have that communication about it because like when I was diagnosed, like I understood but didn't understand, and he was working a lot. Not only was he finishing college, but then he was working, and then life just kind of happened, and then he was just working a lot. And so I was having doctor's appointments in between. And he wasn't going to all of them with me. So I don't think he fully understand. Like, he didn't even understand the chronic fatigue that I was having.
Yeah.
You know, at first he was kind of like, girl, just get out of bed. Like, what you doing? But he finally realized, like, she really can't wake up. She really can't physically get up. And then, of course, before I had diabetes before I was a diabetic, I was taking like metformin. And if you are not a diabetic and you've taken metformin, you will understand this. You have the chronic bathroom issues with the poops. Okay. It's terrible. And you're just, it makes your tiredness like even worse. There was times where like I went to sleep and I left the oven on and locked myself in the house and locked him outside. So there, it was those types of things. And then he started to be like, okay, yeah, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Another reason that I really love planning too, is that if I can just write something down, it doesn't even have to be serious, like serious planning, but like if I could write something down in a notebook or a sticky note, because I can remember though, go back and remember those things, because there used to be moments where there was just like memory loss.
Yeah. Brain fog.
Gaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a lot of that. And so I think like when your partner is aware of those things and you're having those conversations and having that open line of communication, they can be there to help you a little bit more, because yeah. they're aware of what's going on and they kind of like understand what is happening. And I think, you know, all relationships go through things and things happen, but I can truly say that he has always been by my side when it comes to this. And that the more that he started understanding, he's just been there. And like I said, we had a conversation this morning about it. And I just, like I said, sometimes you just need someone to listen. You don't need don't worry about it. Well, here's what you could do. Well, maybe if you stop eating this, we don't need all of that. Sometimes you just need someone to hold your hand and someone to listen. That's all.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's it. That's all it is. And sometimes, mm-hmm. and sometimes you need to remind, I mean, for me anyway, sometimes I need to remind him like, hey, I just need you to be here. Like, I just need you. And if that's ever the case for you, if you need, in, whether it's your partner or a friend, whoever,
mm-hmm.
you got to just tell them like, hey, I need you here. Like, I'm feeling some type of way, or I'm having a hard time today or whatever. I need you here. Right. You know, for me, it's easy. Like a lot of times I'm able to, you know, we sit here, we're joking a little bit. We're laughing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it ain't that lighthearted, you know, sometimes you have days where, you know, you feel like there's no way out, you know, you're stuck in like this body that you don't want anymore and whatever. And it's
right.
It's hard to explain it. So sometimes, you know.
And I think for me, like, okay, so we talked about a lot about weight gain, but I do want to say this too, that if you are starting to pay attention to, like, if you pay attention to your body. So I have always had like gained weight. Like the first places that I gained them is like my arms and my face and my stomach and my thighs. Like that's the first place that I'm going to see all my weight. Right. But I noticed that now mainly all of my weight is like in my stomach. If you feel like you are gaining a lot of weight in your stomach area and you're starting to have like the darkness of the skin and all these things, go get yourself checked out. Go see what's going on. Because when you started having, because like we started having those body issues, but we didn't really know what they were.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't take time to really look at ourselves. And that's why like now we mentally have to say, okay, yes, you have more weight in your stomach. No, it's not because you're sitting here eating. You know, we have to talk to ourselves about these things and realize that our bodies are changing and that we don't really have a lot of control over that. And I think for you, that would help too, because we have to remember that we don't have control over that. We don't have control. Do we have control over how much we're putting into our bodies, like what we're eating every day? Yes. But we don't have control over PCOS. We don't have control over how the weight gain affects our body. So, yeah, we have to mentally remember that. And I think being able to be with someone who can understand the changes of your body, understand the changes of your mood, the you know, and your mental health helps, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have days where I wake up and I'm telling you, Queen, if I ate something wrong, I will wake up actually looking pregnant. Like my bloating will get so bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bloating and weight gain in the midsection is actually a pretty common symptom of PCOS. So mm-hmm. definitely something to look out for. But I'll be like, Steve, look, my boyfriend's name is Steve, look, I look pregnant today. And he'll be like, ha ha ha. And like, he'll like joke about it and I'll joke about it, but he's very understanding. He's not like, ew, you're gross or right. anything like that.
And we even try to be we joke about it. Cause even me, I always said that I like want twins. Mm-hmm. I want a boy and a girl, and they already have names. Even if they're not twins, they still already have names.
Of course.
And so we'll joke around the house and I'll be like, because I want to name my daughter Riley. So I'll be like, all right, you know, if Riley was here right about now, you'd be in some trouble. Or Riley would have you wrapped around your finger. Like, you know, like little jokes like that. And I think that's a way of me just kind of like keeping hope, like, okay, they will come, or trying to keep positive.
It's a way of coping.
Yeah, it really is a way of coping. And it's kind of us joking with our partners and trying to keep that open communication. And because, again, you know that Steve would want to be an amazing dad. You know, he would be an amazing dad and he would want to be a dad. It's just kind of frustrating that we can't do those things. And I think in a way, that's our way of coping. You know, just kind of like how your way of coping, like that's kind of ours. And it's really a struggle. But for me, I do want to say this, because we're getting towards the end of the show, y'all. But I want to say this. If anybody is out there who thinks they have PCOS or thinks that a family member has PCOS, go get yourself checked out. And don't stop getting yourself checked out. Advocate for your health. Write down your symptoms. Keep a wellness journal or a wellness planner. Yep. And write all the things down. I have learned so much with keeping my wellness planner. I use my passion planner as that. And I write down like the foods I'm eating. So I'll be like, okay, girl, no, you can't eat this because it makes you completely sick. Or if I am sick, what did I eat? You know, what was my blood sugar today? How am I feeling? What are my moods? Because again, my moods change back and forth. Like I have noticed that though I don't have a cycle, there's certain times in a month where I'm just real like, I'm ready to like go at me a bitch, you know? Like, you want these hands? You can get these hands. That's how I'm thinking. And so I have to remember like, okay, why am I having this mood? Okay, I'm having symptoms of PMS, but there's still no cycle.
Yeah.
And so those are things that I need to like, you know, like remember to track. Like sometimes I'm having like hot flashes, like what the hell is going on with that? Because, and I get worried because of course, by me not having a cycle, am I hitting early menopause type of stages? So those, all the things that you have to keep writing down and making sure that you are tracking your cycles, anything that goes wrong, you bring that to the attention of your doctor.
Yeah.
And I have also learned that if a doctor doesn't seem like they don't care, then bye.
Go to a new doctor. Yeah,
because they are not worth you continuing to feel bad. Like I said, that one doctor was like, you do know you're fat, right? And I was just like, girl.
I get mad even just thinking about it.
Girl. If it had been any one doctor that I ever wanted to put paws on, she definitely was one. Because I was just like, so.
I know, I'm over here like, what's her name? I just want to talk. Like,
I want to talk to this.
I just want to talk.
It was just too much for me. But you know that a lot of, like you said, a lot of doctors do not care. There's really is no cure. And I also do want to mention this, because you mentioned this earlier about women who have had children. And we talk about our journeys. And so far, you guys have heard, you've heard Holly's journey. You've heard some of my journey. And clearly, our journeys are two different things. And clearly, the way we're coping with them and our mental health are two different paths as well. But if you've had PCOS and you've had children, please don't come and say, oh, because somebody left me this the other day and said, oh, yeah, I have PCOS too, but I totally beat it. And I've had three amazing pregnancies. Mm. And I'm like, okay, congratulations on your three beautiful babies. But I have not. Because my journey is completely different. And we have to remember that her journey was her journey. She was able to have three successful pregnancies. But also, PCOS affects everyone differently.
Yes,
where me and you are dealing with some of the same issues, for example, like the weight gain, I know someone who basically couldn't gain really any weight.
Yep.
And she had PCOS, and it took her years to have a baby.
Yeah.
But she was able to have a baby. But again, she was barely overweight. So everybody's journey is different. And we have to keep that in mind. And take time to be kind to each other, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to compare. Like, I'm, you know, don't tell me like that there's hope for me, or, you know, that I'm definitely going to have a kid or whatever. And also, don't think that you beat PCOS just because you have it. Like, make sure you keep managing those symptoms, because like we said, diabetes, you're way higher risk for heart attack and stroke, like ovarian cancer. People don't think about that. You have to take care of yourself. Having a baby does not mean you beat it.
And there are some people who even have children, right? And then later realize that they have PCOS. They were diagnosed with PCOS. So they'll have a child, and then later they're trying to get pregnant for child number two. They're trying to figure it out, don't know what's going on, and then they're diagnosed with PCOS. So PCOS is almost like something that is dormant for a while, and anything could wake it up. You know?
I feel like that's what happened to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's what happened to me as well. Like, the birth control woke it up. Yeah. It was like, I've been sleeping for a while. And also that there are studies that are saying that PCOS is basically genetics, like in DNA, you know? So like for my mom went to the doctor, and she basically, the doctor asked her, does she have PCOS? And she was like, no, but my daughter does. And she was like, yeah, well, she probably got it from you because you have fibroids. But my mom also has a hormonal imbalance. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it always questions, why am I the only child? Because she's even thought about that. Like, why am I her only child? So she probably had me, and then her hormonal imbalance was unlocked with PCOS. For me, my testosterone levels are super high. So I basically always just joke, I'm a boy. I'm a boy.
I say that. I tell my boyfriend all the time, like, listen, if I stop taking my birth control, I'm going to turn into a big hairy man.
I'm a boy. I always tease one of my girls, Sandy from Planet Craving. I always tease her that my alter ego is a boy. And she always gets a kick out of that. So I'm always like, hey, baby, what's up? She's like, Queen, something is wrong with you. But I was like, girl, I'm just saying. They always telling me that my testosterone level is
I sympathize.
So, maybe I'm just a boy, you know. But yeah, I just have come to terms that, like, it's okay to not be okay, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to joke through it. We have to laugh before we cry. You know what I mean?
Yes, we do. We really do. Yes. And going back on everything you said, wellness planning. Yes. So important. Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. I do it in a plum paper. I love it. And honestly, things that you may not even realize are symptoms of PCOS could very well be. Like, I was reading a PCOS book. I can't remember the title. My apologies. But she said that when you floss your teeth, right, if your gums are always bleeding, but you're always flossing and you can't figure out why they're always bleeding, even if your dental health is like, your dental hygiene is good, your body deals with inflammation with PCOS. Your gums can always be inflamed, and no amount of flossing is going to stop the bleeding.
So I also learned something too. So no matter how much, speaking of brushing teeth, no matter how much I brush my teeth, I brush my tongue, all this thing, right? My tongue is always like white, mm-hmm. but then it has like this little scalloped edge, right? And I've noticed this for years. I'm like, what the hell? And I never paid attention to, I even asked the dentist why my tongue is like this, because I just thought like maybe it's normal. But come to find out that it is a sign of basically a thyroid condition and dehydration, which, of course, by me being diabetic, I'm pretty much always dehydrated. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I have to drink like tons of water. And let's be honest, I suck at drinking the water. Okay, I'm gonna do better, but I suck at drinking the water.
Me too.
Okay, I honestly, I'm going, if somebody cut me right now, I'm gonna bleed Coke Zero. That's when I'm gonna bleed. There's no blood there. There's just Coke Zero there. But I didn't know these things. And so you're starting to learn these things and learn these different things about your body and the ways that your body can attack you sometimes.
Yeah.
And or showing you symptoms and signs that you don't even know that are there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just take those small little notes. If it's something that you notice about yourself, write those notes down and say, okay, this continues to keep happening to me, or every month this happens, and, you know, or whatever. And make sure when you go to your doctor, you sit down and explain those in detail. Don't just write the notes. Explain them in detail to the doctor. Mm-hmm.
And PCOS can be diagnosed by a gynecologist or an endocrinologist. So fun fact, you can see either.
Because even with having PCOS and the thyroid condition that I have noticed that I think that if my thyroid condition had gotten it checked 13 years ago when I was originally diagnosed, and then they basically pushed that out the window, was like, oh, no, you're fine. I think my body would be different, and I would be my periods and cycles and all those things would be regulated different, because your thyroid and the PCOS, they kind of almost work hand in hand.
They do.
To be honest, they work hand in hand. And so if anything is going wrong or out of whack, those things need to be checked.
Yes.
You know?
A lot of people who have PCOS have thyroid problems.
Yeah.
So.
And so if you think you have any of those symptoms, you're researching. And again, research, research, research. And let me say this too, because I know we're saying like things not to say. I also want to mention this too, because I have a lot of friends who are moms, and I do go to them and I talk about issues, and they're like, you're going to have your babies. Don't worry. I don't mean it in the way of like, don't tell me I'm going to have babies. It's, we all know how people are. It's that condescending tone. There's a difference of a tone of like, oh girl, you're going to have babies. We got you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to put the good air out there for you. The sprinkle the baby dust for you. That is completely different. It's those people who are just like, girl, you talking about it too much. Like, okay, we get it. You're having infertility issues. Cause those are the type of people who are like, if you stop worrying about it, you'll have a baby. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you feel like you're talking to me like I'm a child. Like,
right. It's those types of people. Yeah. Please, please don't take it wrong. So I did want to say that, because I don't want people to be like, oh my God, I ain't never telling her she gonna have a baby again. No, that's not what we mean.
No, there's a difference though between being genuinely supportive and then just giving unsolicited like advice about it. There's a difference.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's all in how we perceive each other, how we treat each other, learning just to make sure that we are having empathy for each other and just taking time to listen. But what I want to say today, though, is Holly, you are amazing. You are a freaking rock star. This episode has not been easy for us to record, people, so you better enjoy it, okay?
This was a doozy.
It was, but Holly has been such an amazing trooper. I thank you so much for joining me. And is there anything else you want to tell the people? Like anything you want to tell the people about your journey, your story, anything? Tell us right now.
Honestly, the only thing I really want to say is monitor your body, monitor your symptoms, see a doctor, ask questions. I really hope that I can help more people get diagnosed, because I think the more people that make a stink about this, the more likely we're going to be heard. That's what I think. And that's what my goal is. I want you to make a stink about it. Okay. This is not something you should be quiet about, and try to get your diagnosis. Don't just assume whatever you're going through is normal. Don't assume it. If it seems weird, go to the doctor, go to your gyno, go get your checkups. That's another big thing. Go get your checkups. You should be going to the gyno once a year. If you're on birth control every 6 months, you know, just do all of that. Just take care of yourself. Take care of your body. That's what I want to say. That's what I want to leave it off with.
Well, Ari, I agree with you. Absolutely. Taking care of our bodies, seeing the doctors, making sure you're getting your pap smears. All of those things are important. And making sure you listen to your body. Start trying to figure out what your body is saying to you. And if you are missing your period longer than 6 months, hello, something is wrong.
Yes.
Go into the doctor. Do not let them dismiss you. Do not let them make you think you are crazy, because that has happened a lot. I don't know if it happened for you, but I almost started to think like, am I nuts? Maybe I'm just crazy, you know, but we are not crazy. And we just want you guys to be aware that PCOS is a silent woman killer out here. And we are no longer going to be silent about it. Me and Holly have decided that we're going to team up, and we're going to make sure that every September you guys are listening to our mouths. Okay. Even on the outside of September, y'all are going to hear us growing about PCOS awareness. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So with all that being said, Holly came up with an amazing idea. This is what sparked the whole entire conversation. So Holly, take it away.
Okay. I reached out to Queen a couple weeks ago on a whim, and it wasn't really on a whim. I had planned on reaching out to her for like literally months. I planned on reaching out to you for literally months.
Oh my God.
And then August came so fast, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's August already. I have to message Queen. I was so scared. I was thinking about it. I was like, she's not going to want to like even give me time of day. I don't know what to do. But at the end of the day, I was like, she inspires me so much. Like, I have to do this. And this is the first time I've ever really done that, like, stepped totally out of my comfort zone to reach out to somebody else on the internet. I've never done it. So it was really exciting for me. And I remember even when I like hit the send button, I said to Steve, I was like, I sent it. Cause he knew the whole thing. Like he was there for the whole thing. But anyway, so we wanted to do a challenge, which I tried to do last year, but I didn't have a big following on Instagram. So it didn't really get any traction at all. So I want to do a PCOS awareness planner challenge. And what I was thinking after I spoke with Queen about it a little bit, what I was thinking was we could do some type of incorporating the color teal into your planner spread. So we weren't sure what week we would do. We kind of settled on the week of, I believe, the 13th, which is Monday.
Yes, Monday through the 20th, which will be a full week, Monday through Sunday.
Yes. So the 13th, yes, the 13th, yes. And then if you can't do it that week, hey, you know what? Do your monthly spread if you haven't done that yet, or do the following week. We're not going to be crazy about it.
Right.
But incorporate teal. We know that not everybody has teal stickers. They're not easy to come by and they're not the most popular color. But so if you want to do black and white, maybe do some teal pen, use a teal pen or something like that. And listen, if you don't have teal, we'll accept blue.
Yes, we will.
We say the teal. I just wanted to say quick. No, that's okay. I wanted to say really quick the color teal, the reason why we're doing teal, because we didn't mention this, is that that's the ribbon, like the color of the ribbon for PCOS awareness. So that's why we want to do teal.
Right. So teal, for us, we know a lot of people don't have teal stickers or teal, you know, teal washi or whatever. I have kind of come up with mine because, of course, I don't really have any PCOS kits or stickers or whatever. The point of this challenge really is not just about what week you do it. That's why we said you can do it, you know, this coming up week from the 13th through the 20th. You can do it the following week. You can do your monthly spread. Honestly, what we're just trying to do is get people to bring awareness to PCOS in the community. And you guys sharing your stories or your journeys with us will be helpful. We would love to reshare those if you're comfortable, and share those in our stories and share your planner spreads in our stories and tag you guys just for the support and love. But we just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that they are not alone in this community. You're not alone in this journey. You're not alone in this fight. And when Holly came to me about this whole challenge, I just thought, oh my God, I wanted to do something. I was already kind of working on something. And I just thought, like, okay, this would be a great way to bring awareness. And what better way than to have her on the show, us talk about our journeys, our personal experiences, and that you guys can kind of hear, you know, it's just two girlfriends talking back and forth about our journeys and our stories and sharing with you guys out loud, that you guys can hear us and know the pain and the frustration that that we have been going through and still are going through, suffering with this invisible illness. So
yes. And even if you don't have, oh no, thank you. Thank you so much. And even if you don't have PCOS, share the love, participate in this challenge, bring the awareness. And you know, you may not realize it, but even just participating in a planner challenge, right? You may think, oh, like what's the big deal? You know what though? That's huge, because you might be inspiring people who aren't talking about PCOS and maybe think they have it, or they do have it and they feel, I mean, ashamed. And it's sad to say, because nobody should feel ashamed with PCOS, but there are people who do. So seeing those colors all over like my timeline, my newsfeed, or whatever you call it on Instagram, I would love that. And that's going to inspire other people too, to stand up, tell their story, seek help, go to the doctor, all these little things. It is not just putting color to paper. This is so much bigger than that. So if you do participate in this challenge, we decided on the hashtag PCOS Planner Challenge 2021. Yes. And we will definitely, as you said, I'll be sharing everything. And my DMs are always open. If you guys want to tell me, if you don't want to post it out loud, but you want to talk to me, I'm always here. I love chatting with people, you know, and if there's any way I can help you or help you get the care you need or help you figure out what questions you want to ask, whatever, I'm here. So, but I'd love to see some of this on Instagram. So let's do it.
Yeah, let's do this. And remember, we are warriors. We are out here fighting like a girl. And we are going to support our babes in this community by bringing awareness, because I know that 1 in 10, that is, it's a crazy number to me. I mean, you can walk down the road, count 10 women, and those 10 women, one of them has PCOS.
Yeah.
And it's something that is, it robs you. Like you said, it robs you of you're almost like your everyday life. You know what I mean? Like
it does.
It's something that's always in the back of your mind. It's something that you're always suffering with, something you're always dealing with. And so for us to be able to do this challenge, I'm really grateful for Holly for coming to me and us having that conversation. And let me just say, girl, I don't know why you was nervous to talk to Queen, because honey, I am a regular Degla. Okay. I am a regular Degla old girl. Okay. I pay bills just like you. Y'all don't be out here trying to fret talking about, I'm scared to talk to Queen. Y'all better talk to me, because I want to talk to you too. Now, I will say I am awkward in the DMs, okay, because I am an introvert, and sometimes that comes out in the DMs, and then I'd be like, oh Lord, she probably think I'm a bitch. But you know, it's not, I don't really really mean it to come out that way. I love you guys so much. If you guys could do this and participate and support me and Holly, we would absolutely be forever grateful. And one other thing that me and Holly talked about that I think would be amazing is that if you guys would find it in your hearts to maybe even find a place that you could donate for PCOS awareness, go and just donate to a foundation or a charity and just show your support for PCOS awareness and make sure you are out here letting people know that there is actually a month, because guess what? I posted about PCO awareness and someone said, I didn't know it was a month for this. And I was like, yeah, girl, we got a whole month. September is PCOS awareness month. And we are going to be doing our best to bring awareness to this every year and just celebrating us as women that it's okay that we are struggling with this. We are strong. We are enough. And the more people who we can bring awareness to this, like Holly said, is going to be amazing, because though I feel like there's no cure, I feel like if we can get more people talking about it, we can get more doctors researching this, and maybe they can find something that can actually help yes. with our hormonal imbalance. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it is just a big, huge
mess of hormones,
right? Your hormones are just every which way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thank you, Holly, for joining me today on this episode. I am so grateful that we got to do this. I'm so excited. I'm thankful. And I'm just really happy. And I just hope you know that you are amazing. And though you're going through this journey, that you are not alone. And my door is always open. And anytime you need to scream, cry, and just yell at somebody, okay, I'm here to listen. And I understand. And you are freaking amazing.
Oh my gosh, my mouth hurts from smiling so much. This has been such a pleasure, Queen. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to our friendship that I just know is going to be amazing going forward. And yes. I had so much fun tonight. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. So with that being said, I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Amazing for you. Y'all know that's my favorite day of the week. And also remember that Sunday is self-care Sunday. So we should be doing what? Going to drink that wine, relaxing, taking a hot bubble bath. Okay. Making ourselves feel all good. And until next Friday, y'all stay fancy.